Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, March 31st, 2019. Betty Kwan Chin is a human rights champion located in Eureka, California, and also a Presidential Medal of Freedom recipient. Her message this morning is My Faith. The Psalm of Lament today is Psalm 94, verses 16 through 23, and the New Testament lesson is Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7.
Oh,
okay,
good.
Got it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, and hello, everybody. And so nice of Pastor Wendy invite me to be in here today. Just to listen to your reading, your music, it really touched my heart and really getting to me right now, I tell you. I come from Uyghur, and I've been serving the homeless for the last 36 years now. And the reason I don't know why I do that. Before I feed the homeless people, I had so much anger in me. I run 19 miles every morning before 9 o'clock. I don't know where the anger comes from. Until each day I see the people, stranger people, people I know, they smile at me and melt my heart. And I see the beauty of the people's smile. Remember, your smile is really powerful. And you don't know how you affect the people's strength or somebody you know. So I started feeding homeless people from a family, two girls and a father and mother live in a car. And now, 36 years later, I feed 500 people a day. And during the 36 years, I've been put in the jail for three days. I can spit by people in my face. I've been shot by BB gun. And I bend it. I cannot walk across the old town in Eureka because they say because I create homelessness in the city. And my priority is feeding the people, the children, because to end homelessness from the children, young age, and military, veteran, mentally ill. So in Humboldt County, we have major problems, drugs, number one, mental health, and homelessness, out of luck, no job, divorce, that kind of stuff. I am very impatient. I am very stubborn. I don't listen to anybody. I'm very, very impatient. When I see something, I do it. I cannot wait. And I don't even know what am I doing. And I remember when first time Pastor Dan from a Presbyterian church from Eureka, he said, Betty, I know him a little bit, and he gave me a $1,000 check. I said, I don't want it. And then he said, this is from a 2 cents mail from your church. Correction, I give to you. I said, I don't want it. I cannot pay you back. And Pastor Dan said, you don't have to pay me back. This, you do it for my church. And then we collect the money, 2 cents from the people. And then you do my work. You do my church work. And that's the first donation, first courage. Come out to help me. I'm a Catholic. And then and because I feed the people, he irritates a lot of people, city, county, everybody. And most of the richest men in Eureka, Humboldt County, he want me best so badly. He had a campaign with all the business go against me. Every other day I had a lawsuit against me. But I don't care, and I don't worry. Because the word can take a lot of my energy out to help the people. So I still keep doing what I'm doing every day. But Pastor Dan, each day, he helped me open up my eyes. How much God in my life. And over the years, I think after 20 years, I found God in my life. And I'm a chosen one. And he really chose me, gave me a gift, gave me direction. My working hour from 3 a.m. until 11 or 12 midnight. If I lucky day, I can get 45 minutes sleep. When I sleep, I wear my shoes. When one phone call, I get a call. And I go to the place, is nobody go. And then I maybe park my car on the highway and walk 1 mile deep and find these people. And I serve them the coffee in the morning. If I don't get them a coffee or a donut or something, and they don't take their medication, and they do not know there's a new day. Mm-hmm. And then I serve the dinner. I make sure they had the food to eat, the piece of meat, the veggies, and the food to eat. I don't have money. I don't have budget. And everybody asks me, I am not a nonprofit either. And I had, really, I don't have anything. Somebody gave me a peanut butter and jelly, but I don't have money to buy bread. That's the fact, and then that's the idea. But each time when I need a bread, somebody just drop in and say, Betty, I have bread for you. And then homeless people tell me, say, Betty, if you had a whole sandwich for me, fine. If you don't, cut the half. That's all you do. Their idea, get me a peanut butter and jelly. Said bread had a lot of filling. The peanut butter had a lot of protein. The jelly had dessert. That's all in one sandwich. And your mission team did a job for the peanut butter and jelly. I've never had a budget. That $1,000 from Pasby Church is still on my mind. And I hold a check, and I don't know what to do. $1,000, that's a lot of money. So every money to feed the people really depend on my salary. And I work for the Eureka City School, and I retire early because I got the retirement benefit and the social, whatever you call. So I have more than I work, so I retire early. I love my job. I worked with them for 26 years. I love the kid, and then I had to retire. I need more money because it's getting bigger and bigger. But I never had one day when I go to feed the people, I run out of food or run out of something. I never one day in the 36 years, I go to see the people empty hand, no food in my truck. So a lot of the journey is very rough, but I did not feel any burden on me. I did not. And I did not feel like it too much on me. And I did not do that. I feel free. I feel free of myself, my soul, and doing what I'm doing. But one important thing for me is every morning, 5 o'clock, I go to pick up 20 senior high school class kids. Boy and girls come to the center, take a shower, change the clothes, go to school. But over the years now, I have over 300 kids go to 4 years university. And then when I dropped them, in the beginning, I had somebody pay for the first 15 years, somebody pay for 20 kids, 4 years education. And then after that year, and then right now, the college come to me. By November, the college will ask me, Betty, any kids send to our school, our university. And one deal is, they had to take the kid 1 month before the school start. I want to keep a bench in the campus lifestyle and detach the homeless lifestyle. When I drop them at the airport, I always tell them, do not contact me and do not remember me. I'm not your baggage. You go for your goal and let a better life for yourself. I send them all out to California state. They cannot stay in the California state. They can go as far as go, and they can go, and this university had them. What it touched me is 7 years ago, I got a call from Johns Hopkins Medical School and the committee to review the income in Kennedy for med student. And then he said, I need the essay in here. One boy, Ryan, about how he be homeless in Humboldt County in Eureka. You take him to school, and he want to be a doctor. He want to pay back. He want to help the people. And I was really touched. And that's the boy was 17 in high school. He almost dropped out because last semester he skipped the one school class. What class? PE. Why are you skip the PE class? So we talked to the principal. We had a conference. And then he said, Miss Betty, I don't have underwear to wear. I cannot go to school. I cannot go to class. I said, tell me any kind of underwear you want. I buy it for you. I get to you, okay? So he said he like boxer. And I had two boys myself. I know nothing about boxer. And that learned. And now he's the doctor at New York City, one of the major hospitals now. And never gave up the kid. Never gave up the kid. And always there and loved him. Finally, 7 years ago, everybody want to help me because by name more hour, I'm being silent. I don't fight. I don't like to fight with anybody. I don't want to debate anybody because they take a lot of energy out of me, anger out of me. I don't want to do that. And 7 years ago, but 10 years ago, actually, somebody from Pastor B. Church and write a letter to Maria Shriver about what I do. So she gave me a wall and then for the woman conference and gave me $35,000 to build a shower. She asked me what I want. I want a shower. And after that, so like my name come out, my comfort zone, because I always put myself in there. I don't want to come out. Nobody know. When you do something good to other people, you don't have to tell anybody. You do it from your heart. And that's what I believe in. So over the years now, and then people knowing I'm action, I'm not talking. Whatever I do, I do it. I don't like to talk. I don't want to sell my story to anybody. Until I met President Obama. And one day he called me, I was a business time, you know, it's 4 o'clock. I said to feed the people. I tell him, I'm really busy right now. I cannot talk to you. So I hang up the phone, and then he called my husband. And my husband say, really, the president, you cannot hang up the phone. You got to stop what you're doing. Talk to him. I said, tell him Colbert at 5 o'clock. When I stop this spot, I can drive in. I can talk to him. And then someone like, I did that. So he did Colbert at 5 o'clock, and then we talked. We talk a little bit, and then he said, Betty, I read in your story, you suffer so much. I look at my daughter, young age. I imagine my daughter in that age suffer so much, like what you suffer. I just, as a parent, I cannot let go. It's on my mind. And so he said, I'm going to grant you a citizen medal. I said, what do you take a medal for? And he said, it's the second highest medal the president get to anybody. I had no use. What am I doing with it? I quit in a box, suit box, and quit under my bed. That's what I'm doing. I don't need it. So he called me again with assistant and say, the president really went had a quiet conversation with you. Can you find sometimes he can talk to you? So I said, okay. I talked to him, and I said, so honored for you to talk to me. Get me a medal. I had no use. Really do. I do not have use. It's not about me. It's about the homeless. If they don't get me the time to share with them, I cannot do anything. If I don't have a community or anybody support me, I cannot do it. The volunteer, everybody. So I said, let's make a deal. That's a free one medal. So for you and for your volunteer, your supporter, and the homeless, I said homeless on the first. I'm on the, a bottom, something like that. So he invited me to the White House. So he presented the medal to me, and he does know I had a bad back. So he wanted me to stand out walking at the White House. You know, always see the news conference, the red carpet. So he and I walk back and forth in there. And then he say, how do you like in the White House? I said, it's a beautiful house. And then, you know, you had a military escort with you. It's really uncomfortable, first. And second, you had a butler also follow you. And you want to drink, you want to eat, that kind of stuff. I don't like the people serving me. And then the guy had the napkin, whatever, on his shoulder. And I don't feel good because he's an older person, and I don't feel comfortable then. The musician that play music, so I said, it's a beautiful house. And then he said, "What? How you feel being side by side with the president and walk in the White House in the red carpet?" I said, look back to him. I said, Mr. President, with all my honor and respect to you, are you not more or less than the homeless people I serve in every single day? And then he turned around and gave me a hug. And, Betty, I love you. Because that moment, I felt we built some kind of connection. He say, the medal for you, I'm only in the office for so long, but the medal, you can use it all the time. When the people say, talk about homeless issue, he said, for himself, oh, I know the number. The people get me a number, I don't see anybody actually do it. So you do it. So, and then the medal, when I gone, you still had a medal. Your name's still on the White House. And really good, actually, really, really good. After I get a medal, I invite for the Pope from a room. I had to go to the room and meet with the Pope in there. And then every time I go for a security guard area, I do need to check up. Because my name's there. But when it's uncomfortable, you had to get approved by the State Department. So lose your freedom a little bit in there, you know. So really good. I you know what? The people ask me, Betty, I had a very good husband. I had arranged marriage. And he's a Chinese. In the first 2 years of our marriage, he doesn't speak Chinese, and I don't speak English. So in 2 years, we don't talk. Maybe that's save our marriage. Yeah. And I never been to school one day in my life. But my husband is a physics professor from Humboldt State University. And I never one day go to school. I have one son is a law school dean, and one son is stem cell research. When 2014, and the person from China invited me back to China, this is the first time I go back, and I tell him I still have my last word. My kids have better education. I don't care. I don't have it, but they had it. And your song is so beautiful today. That's exactly I tell them. No matter what your government did to me, but you did not take my soul away. And people ask me, whatever I want, and all my year, I work for the illegal city school, or all my social security, every benefit. I never take one penny home or spend on my own. Always use for the homeless. The people ask me, what inspired you doing this? Why you do this? What made me doing this is something to do for my own life. When I was 7 years old and China had a cultural liberation movement, my mom's American born Chinese citizen. American citizen is Chinese American citizen. And my father is a Chinese Britain citizen. They marry. My mom and dad decide want to go back to China, bring some Christ religions back to our area. And also my mother is an MD. She want to bring a medicine back to the very child of woman. Because the most people, women get the birth and die, and the baby dies, she want to help. And she also want to help the people doesn't have a small feet in Chinese tradition, want to change the woman's right or something, young and don't know nothing about Chinese probably, because that against the government rule. So when the cultural liberation come in, so I'm the one of 12 kids. And then they took us, all our property, our family. My mom went to jail for 25 years. And my father and the church pastor in the Nikolai time, my mother sent them back to Hong Kong, let them escape out of China. So two sisters left early age to come to the United States. And then, so they took brother, sister, older one go to labor camp, oldest one go to jail, then like 12 years old or 13 years old go to labor camp, and I was 7. They did not take me. So what they do is they put my foot on a chin, and I would say I'm a child of the devil, and write with that white ink. White in Chinese very much present you to your death. And then they tie the rope again on my neck and hold up the tree behind me. Each time when I move my body, the chain made noise, they would choke me. And always I had a gun behind me on my back, and you don't know you're going to live or not next moment. And we always, every time And when they killed the family member, we had to watch. When I sit down in the place 24/7, I cannot talk to anybody. I cannot look at anybody. I cannot open my mouth. When I see the killer, my family member, I cannot feel motion. We cannot cry. Just like over there, 4 pair from here. And oh, I hear the bang bang. I can see my brother or sister's blood come out the body. And then we know they've been killed. The blood cover up all front of them. And the body's limp. We cannot cry. We cannot get the body back. And I sleep in a dump for 3 years. 3 years. What I eat is gross. I eat my own ways. I join my own ways. The best taste for me is when I, in the summertime, my sweat get to my clothes. When I really feel eating the taste so bad, and I have my own clothes. The taste salty. They help me over that. And one time, because I want to get up, and nothing I can do the 24/7. You can see my fingernail all come out. I tried to write in and count in the little rock in front of me, make sure my body doesn't make the noise. And one time I want to get up because the guards see me behind me and they pull out the bucket, the broken glasses in my front, and I had knee down there. So all the blood cover up all the broken glasses. And then the people throwing a rock on my head, the bleeding come out from my head, the dripping from my hair, and I let my own blood, and I know I was bleeding. I not even know. And after the 3 years, the 4th year, and then my sister, they had 2 more brothers haven't killed yet. So my 17 years old, very courage, and take the 2 boys and grab me. And they not know how to take the chain out of me, and somebody to pull me on the ground. I couldn't walk very fast and cannot make the noise. So we just listen to the people's songs and the body smell and follow the group, the people walk. Take us the 1 year to walk and walk. We had no direction. We had called the close the boat, the borderline, and the border, and then try to swim and cross the tip of China Sea. And we had no idea what get ourselves in. We just go and we want to free, and my sister want to save the 2 boys. They are the one to go carry the family tree. And then, so that's the only thing we can do. When we get close there, first step is the government send the dog. Millions, thousands and thousands of dogs come out by people. We have million people walking. I don't know. I just smell the body. And believe me, time to time, so hungry. Some people could make it and die on the road. We pick up the food from the pocket and eat it and fill our stomach. And it's better eat garbage, better eat on my own ways. Sometimes I can pull the leaf and then eat. That's why I don't like salad. I cannot eat it. It's still the green and bother me, my stomach. So, and the dog, you survive by a dog. The next one is the gunshot all night long. We cannot do it daytime, only nighttime. So we cannot walk anymore. We crawling on the ground and step one inch by inch to go forward. And we go there close the water at nighttime. So they had a thousand army come out. They had to rope this long and tie up your body a couple of times and dump you on the ocean. Even these days and the bad raining day, I go to serving the people on the ocean side, on the ocean front, I still hear people yell and screaming back for their life. I still hear them very clear. Sometimes I want to grab them. I hear the yelling, I hear begging, but I cannot see the body there. So I survived that. So we go down the water. Only my sister know how to swim. And of course, she get carry 2 boys, most of her important. And I still don't understand why my sister take me along. So I hold him, and I lost on the sea. And they made it to Hong Kong. An hour later, they did not find me alive, and I lost it. And Right now, I can tell you, God is so good to me. God is really bent all the dead body in the ocean and put me in the middle to carry me over the ocean. I still had a goosebump. I don't even remember. What happened is that they had all the dead body create like a donut and put me in the middle and carry me. I asked them, how come the body didn't carry me to the ocean? Father down and carry me and knowing I want to go to Hong Kong and carry to me to Hong Kong. When in that time so many dead bodies on the ocean, the Hong Kong government had to take the motorboat to go out, collect all the dead bodies and bury because the health issue, international issue. And then somehow the people went out and come back tell the government, we found somebody alive among the dead body. And had a long hair and white hair. They suspect that maybe older people, older lady. When they come out and they got it, and I am the youngest survivor from whole time. Whole time. And see, God gave me a gift. I eat human ways, I join my own ways. I didn't die. 4 years. 3 years of witness, all the dying, killing the family, killing the friends, did not affect me. I did not suffer the mental health. I think God always in my life, even I know, I don't know. Mm. Even I was 7 years old, I do believe God's there to protect me. Because the guns are behind me, I had the rope, I was a meal. When I survived, get in a Hong Kong, come out of the water and found out I was mute. I cannot talk. And I look like a human animal. Even so, once a while, these days, I had a beautiful kitchen. Once a while, so timid, I want to garbage can pick up the chicken bone. I want to chew it. I had tell myself, I don't have to do that anymore. And for me, I looked at, I thanks to Pastor, then opened my eyes to see it. No matter how hard the life I suffer, I overcome, and God create, gave me a gift, and I feel like I'm a chosen one. I'm a chosen one. For somebody who had no money and nothing, and now, because that hard time for me, really see in me my passion for what I'm doing today. I had the respect for the elderly or sick, the homeless. I had a family shelter. I had a village for the people come from street, come to street, and nothing on, a mentally ill, drug problem, everything. But they kept well. God gave me a gift. Pastor Wendy, when they're really peaceful when you go in there. So when I invited the president by China in there, like I tell them, you can hurt me. They apologize how much they hurt me, but my soul's here. My spirit's still in me. My God's still with me. And right now I'm here. I feel like God tells me, say, also Obama tell me too, spit out, talk to what you happened to you. Spit out. And let people find the gift to help other people or use their own gift. Doesn't have to be help homeless. Use the gift for somebody. Smile to the stranger. You never know what you teach. And I thank God every day. I pray for every morning. Please keep me in your prayer. And I still keep doing until God tells me, say, Betty, you are done. Thank you. Okay.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.